Welcome back to the Renaissance Space podcast, a place for teachers, leaders, and anyone interested in education to hear a range of different voices discussing all manner of different topics associated with teaching and learning. My name is Margaret Allen, and I am your host. And I'm absolutely delighted to have the opportunity to speak to Helen and Sally from Godolphin Junior Academy.
Yeah, thank you. My name's Helen Abel, and I'm the principal of Godolphin Junior Academy, which is a four-form entry junior school in Slough. We're part of the Park Federation, so there's eight schools within the Federation, and I'm fortunate to have been here for 4 years now.
Fantastic. Thank you, Helen. And you've got Sally sitting next to you.
Yes, hello, I'm Sally Clayton. I'm the reading lead at Godolphin, and I've also been here for 4 years.
Fantastic. So it's really lovely to have you here, and we're really excited to be looking at that summer slide and everything that we think about when we think about children finishing at the end of July and school's out. Hooray! Don't have to do anything that's work. So I'm certainly not going to read a book. How do you cope with that, Helen?
No, it's quite right. And when we get to this time in the year, it's absolutely something we're all talking about, we're thinking about, and I'm getting ready for those summer holidays. I've got to say here, you know, we do worry about the summer slide to some extent, because especially if I take reading as an example, so much happens, and I know every school's the same, where we're constantly making sure our children love reading, want to read, have access to reading, and now we suddenly know these summer holidays are going to come our way. And 6 weeks is a long time. There's no getting away from it. And when we think 6 weeks equates to a half term, yeah, and all the things we would normally do in a half term, and all the amount we can cover, it's a significant amount of time. So some of the things we certainly talk about and think about is, first of all, there's the group of children that have been reading with us and had all that input and all that sort of encouragement, and making sure we don't lose momentum there. And then there's a huge amount of children who absolutely love reading, and they've got access to lots of books through school, and perhaps they don't have the access that they want. And basically us just generally being able to kind of keep contact with our children and give them the access that they need and want, and for us as teachers to know there's, you know, we can keep them going, we can keep that momentum going. So it's absolutely a topical conversation at the moment, and we've thought, you know, we think hard of what can we do. There are bits and pieces we could do, so it's been really great to have the opportunity to talk about this and think about it, because yeah. You know, being able to really think, well, hang on, but there is a lot we could do. There are things we can think about. So, yeah, definitely.
So, Sally, as a lead read or read lead, whichever way we want to put it, what's sort of at the top of your list, bearing in mind what Helen's just talked about? You've obviously been discussing it. What do you think is sort of key or crucial to get started?
Well, to us, I think it's reading is something that children want to do. We need to create that passion for reading rather than something that children have to do. So we really will now focus on the next 3 weeks before the end of July, before they leave us for the summer, sort of sharing a passion for reading even more, sort of recommending in classrooms that we read snippets of books that children may then want to carry on reading.
Nice.
Over the summer holiday, things that we can just do to build that excitement amongst the children. We will also extend our Renaissance school year.
Right.
So instead of stopping when the children leave in midway through July, we'll extend it until the end of August. And create a summer reading challenge, extra term, if you like, on the system, and then change the quizzing rights. So at the moment, we don't allow children to quiz from home. We monitor everything very carefully within school. But we will now change those rights so that children can still have access from home, so that it becomes... We don't change that routine. At the moment, the routine is very much you read a book, you quiz on a book, you enjoy the book. If we then turn that off for 6 weeks, what are we telling them?
Yes.
You, that needs to stop. So
absolutely,
we carry that on over the summer holiday. We're showing them that reading really is something that we want them
to continue with.
Yes.
And certainly that's something we did during lockdown. We encouraged schools to keep the quizzing available because, as you quite rightly point out, we have in the past suggested that quizzing needs to be sort of scrutinised and confined. And actually that was confining it for the wrong reasons in many ways, especially when children want to have that buzz of, I want to take a quiz and be part of it still.
Well, and children like routines. They like routines. And if you take away that routine for 6 weeks, then you're almost setting the pathway for actually you don't have to read over the summer. Whereas if that routine is still in place, they will hopefully, fingers crossed, continue to do what we really want them to do and what they want to do.
Presumably you're also encouraging children to maybe, or parents to use the AR book find and find books when they're going to the library and that sort of approach. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. And we've also signed on to Mion. So Mion have opened up for the summer holidays free of charge. So any school can sign up access to reading. So there's thousands of books at children's fingertips now. So when they've got no excuse, really, if they've got time to go on a device to play a game, they can go on a device and read a book or an article. There's such a variety on there, and there's such a broad spectrum for all their different interests. So we've also signed up for the Mion
amazing
reading challenge as well over the summer.
That's lovely to hear, actually, because we're hoping that people will take advantage of that. Again, it was something we did in lockdown, and to be able to give those children who wouldn't naturally have access to books on a shelf at home or a library. You know, some people are quite overwhelmed by libraries, aren't they, going in and thinking, well, what shall I choose? So to have the Mion platform available, that's such good news. Fantastic.
Yes.
So you've got Mion, you've extended the quizzing. So both of those scenarios involve technology. And how does that fit in, Helen, with your demographic in terms of what children have available to them?
Yeah, technology can play such a crucial role now. And with lockdown and everything we've learned from lockdown and remote learning are, you know, knowledge of tech and what you can do with it has really come on, as well as making sure that children have access to technology. And, you know, we're well aware of the issues we had around the digital divide and making sure they have. So just a little bit on that is that, you know, I think certainly for us and hopefully for many other schools as well, we've managed to make sure children do have access to a device. Whether that's a tablet or some sort of laptop, but even there's so much you can do on a smartphone, and most households that there will be at least a smartphone in the home. So as Sally mentioned, you know, we've got quizzing and we've got Mion. For our area and our demographic, that's, you know, a massive resource to us, because it does mean that children can, as Sally said, literally have access to thousands of books. And if there's one device in the household, if it's a shared device, if it's a phone, actually it's still there, it's still accessible. And the good news for us is we can see that we've moved on a little bit from that anyway, and certainly with the DfE devices that we're given, we as a school, Sally mentioned the next 3 weeks, we make sure that everybody's got access to something. It's kind of in play already, because same with a lot of other schools, when we're using digital homework and digital learning, we feel confident there's quite a lot of access there. But certainly for technology, we've got the Mion and Accelerated Reader already mentioned, but we have a learning platform. I know there's lots of ones out there. We happen to use Google Classroom. But what we also do, and it's no extra work for teachers, because we'll do it before the summer holidays. We know teachers are busy. We know they're away. We know they've got their own holidays and their own life, and they absolutely need the break. So we schedule on Google Classroom. Each week there'll be a sort of reading surprise for children to log in and gain access to. And what we do is we send links to audiobooks, YouTube videos with authors reading books.
Nice.
So just sort of access to things that they can enjoy, experience. And so we'll schedule them. They get released on certain dates over the summer holidays. Like Sally said, these next 3 weeks are key because we say to the children, over the holidays, log onto your platform. There's going to be a surprise waiting for you, you know, each week or however often we schedule it. And it gives that sort of excitement of, you know, what we're going to see, what we're going to read. Again, it takes the pressure off parents a little bit because we can source great materials. There's loads out there. Like I said, even if it's on a phone, you can watch an author, a great author, read a great story on YouTube on your phone. And so, again, using tech like that, we even have said in the past, if you've got the telly on, it's a busy household, there's people working, there's lots of children, stick the subtitles on. If you work, whatever you're watching, you can have the subtitles on. Get a little bit of reading in. Yes. So technology has opened doors, you know, and especially with the summer slide, especially with the summer holidays, it gives us a lot of opportunities to have that sort of connection and that opportunity. So know the potential there's been great.
And it's sharing your expertise across the holidays, isn't it? I mean, I think that's such a lovely idea because you can do it now, because it's not that teachers should be logging on and having to do stuff through the summer holidays. But if you can nudge the agenda and sort of sneak your way in, I mean, Michael Rosen reading Chocolate Cake springs to mind. You know, that's just so fantastic. And then to get, you know, get the book, Quick Let's Get Out of Here, for example. I mean, that's a way of then furthering the platform and the genre and the sort of opportunities that reading can give. Just love it. Just love it.
Good.
Yes, well, and it's so good for children, I think, as well, to have the opportunity to listen to stories. Because when households are busy over the summer holidays, it's so important to hear stories being read. And we do a lot of reading to the children in classrooms. So again, it's carrying that on and giving the children that relaxation time. Cressida Cowles, she does quite a lot on YouTube. Well, then if children then want to listen to her audiobooks and then take a quiz if they want to, that they could, everything incorporates and links together.
Completely. And I think what you're also doing is making that connection with parents, because all parents want to do the best by their children. But to be honest, they often don't know what to do they? And especially if a child's already reading, the sort of emphasis on reading to children tends to sort of walk away, and parents are busy and they're working. And as you say, it's a busy household. There should be time for sitting and reading on a sofa somewhere, but actually let's just accept that there isn't these days, and let's give them something that just supports them and just makes them feel they're not doing this on their own.
Yes, absolutely. I also think that I think it's very important for as adults. I'm a mum of two children, and actually I was thinking about this quite a lot yesterday. My reading time is when everyone's gone to bed, and that's when I sit down and read a book. So my children actually never see me with a book in my hand because it's always when they've gone to bed. So I'm going to try very hard over the summer holiday to sit down at times when I would usually be doing jobs and being busy with things, and actually sit down with a book in my hand so that the children can see me doing that, and that it's important to just sit down and have some switch off time if it's available.
I think, I mean, just listening to those different scenarios you've offered there, you're making connections that I'm sure will connect with lots of different people for lots of different reasons. And that's all you can do from afar when you don't actually have control of those children during that 6 weeks.
Sally's talked both in school and at home about a kind of stop, drop and read. And that, you know, you could plan in 10 minutes of the day, 15 minutes of the day. And, you know, we know in the summer holidays, first of all, it's a long time anyway. Sometimes parents, I know talking to parents, I know being a parent, it's a long time to entertain your children anyway. And there's lots going on. So sometimes, you know, that calming moment, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, let's just stop, drop and read as a family. Mm. And, you know, there's lots of options to hear your children read, to read to your children. Or as Sally says, sometimes we say, do you know, if you model that you're a reader too, and you all just read whatever that you're interested in at the moment or currently reading, it's perfectly sort of easy to do that 50 minutes and actually just some time. It gives a sort of activity, a task, and it could just be built into the day pretty easily.
This has been fascinating to hear those different offerings, for want of a better word, really, that will entice children into some reading activity over the summer. And you've mentioned so many. So as we sort of come towards the end of this conversation, I'm just interested, if I was to say to you, right, you know, Sally, what's your absolute top of the list? If there was one thing that you were going to say to your parents or to the children, whoever your audience is, try and do this, what would be at the top of your list?
Mine would really be to create that buzz of reading before we leave for the summer holiday. Really get the children engaged in reading before they leave for that summer break. And just really try to get them to realise that because it's the summer holiday, things don't have to stop. If it's something that they enjoy, if reading is really for a passion, then it's something that they will really want to do.
Fantastic. And I think spot on, because there is that feeling. I can remember, you know, there's nothing, I don't care what anybody in any other profession says, but that last day of term in July, it's like, you know, what am I going to do? I've got freedom, you know, as a teacher, and children will feel that too. Hooray! You know, so keeping that momentum going. Absolutely. Yeah, spot on. And Helen, for you as team leader, as head of the school?
Well, certainly, I think we want to keep the, it's like that's already been mentioned, I can only echo it, it's the momentum and the buzz and the want and the importance and value. And for us, I think the most important thing is, well, certainly for me thinking as a head teacher, is communicating really clearly and really to everyone now that there's loads of options. And Sally can, you know, I'll hand over to you in a minute to talk about how you're going to sort of work on that communication. But just to keep reading and to enjoy it, you know, and to take advantage of all the different options we've got there, and to know that we're not going anywhere. School's still here. We're still, you know, here for you over those summer holidays. Keep the buzz going, keep the incentive going, and that we've sort of scheduled the summer holidays. There's still plenty to look forward to and do.
We're going to send out at the end of term a good old-fashioned piece of paper for parents, a reading newsletter with everything that they need in one place to remind them, so that the access to the Google Classroom with reminders, the fact that they've got that wealth of My On, we'll send the login details to them there. The local library details, everything will be on there, so that they will send that as a piece of paper, we'll send that on the app, so that parents have that available to them, so they know exactly where to look, what they can do to help, and just as a reminder to keep reading throughout the summer holiday.
We put on the letter as well, we've got about 5 key questions that we give to parents, because some of our parents as well, very honest, you know, they want ideas of how they can help at home, you know, what more can I do? And we've got about 5 questions, and it says things like, when your child's been reading their book, you can ask them, you know, what did you like about it? What do you think will happen next? Tell me about the character. And then just some questions that we say, you know, get some book talk going around that book. And we say, parents, you know, it'll take 5-10 minutes, but these questions here, you know, it works with any book, any text, any material, but what you're doing is drawing out that understanding and that discussion. And we put that on the newsletter as well. We've got it on bookmarks that we send home, and we say, parents, if you're ever in doubt, whatever your child's read, here's a few go-to questions, have a good talk about it as well.
Fantastic. That sounds really exciting. And I'm really, really excited at the prospect of being able to share this out with others, because I'm sure there are other things that are going on. And I'm sure listening to you, people will think, actually, I hadn't thought of that, but we're doing this as well. Sending out a newsletter, making sure parents are clear about your expectations, not in a bossy dictatorial way, but in a enabling, let's get this right. Let's make sure that the 6 weeks are fun on every level, but that we don't have that summer slide, which is almost becoming like onomatopoeic in the way that it's like, oh my word, it's all so depressing because it's going to be awful. No, let's not make it awful. Let's make it a roller coaster, you know, a fun activity.
Absolutely.
I don't know if there's anything else you haven't said that you wanted to sort of feed into what we've just talked about, because we've covered so much and you've shared so much, and thank you for that. But anything that you'd like to add to the end of this podcast?
No, one other thing I would just say, if parents, sometimes we find that parents are a little bit, going back to your library comment, they're a little bit reluctant. Libraries can be quite daunting. And something else I'm going to hopefully trial this year is having the local library, their hours are running a reading challenge throughout the summer holiday. And I've suggested that they come into our summer fair if they can, so that they have a stall just to promote it at the summer fair. Because if they see a friendly face and they recognise the people, then they may be more inclined to go into the library to visit. So it's just an option. If you're having a summer fair, get in touch with your local library. Would they like to come along to promote the library? Talk about how they can become members. Because it's free, it's such a wealth of something that's free at parents' fingertips and could really help over the summer holiday. So that would be the other thing I would say, it's worthwhile looking into if possible.
Well, what a fantastic golden nugget to finish on, to invite your library into the school. I mean, that is such an obvious thing to do, and I bet there aren't many schools that are doing that. That's just brilliant, genius, absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you both so very much.
Thank you.
I'm hopeful that in the autumn we'll get together again, and maybe we'll do a webinar and we'll talk about some of the things that you've actually done over the summer, and we can reflect back. It would be really amazing. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget that you can catch up on all previous episodes at www.renlearn.co.uk/podcast. Thank you for listening.